good friend Russ Hughes. And Russ, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Sean?
Doing well. I'm just wrapping up a couple of the scores from last night. But of course, this week is all about looking at a friend of ours, a friend of yours specifically, and a friend of our community in basketball.
Well, I think more so than anything, Sean, it's this last week. It was a very tough week for a lot of people. It's going to be a tough week for a lot of people going forward. And I've prepared something I wanted to share with you and with the people here. And it actually is extremely huge loss for regional media. People don't realize, and now that's not a fair assumption. Most folks do not realize what it takes to do your job, my job, whatever the other job is, to be an insurance person. How hard is that to be an insurance person, right, John? I mean, you have to know all these things. You have to become licensed. You have to be able to know how to do things and talk to people in a fair and right manner. To run a movie theater, you have to know what to do about being friendly with people. You need to know about how much popcorn to order, how to make sure it's comfortable for people, having air conditioning on the units put in there, and make everything so much more comfortable for people. People don't know what it's like to be a sports broadcaster or a news broadcaster to do items. So I've prepared a little something here that I would love to share with the audience on Coach's Corner this morning. Now, this is a tribute to Calvin Peart. Local sports radio broadcasters are a rare breed. They are enthusiastic with their following of local high school sports, and they are few and far between. Some are not very good. Others are average. But there are those very exceptional ones that are the cream of the crop. Such were the Peart brothers, and we have lost both of them in the last 2 years and 8 months. A huge loss. Both Steve, or as most people knew him, Moose, and Calvin were concise, articulate, and were able to convert the facts and figures and playing on the court or the field into words that painted a wonderful picture which listeners at home felt like they were there at the contest. Steve had the computer very strong with his descriptions, and Cal very quick with his assessment of action. We've talked about Steve in the past, but unfortunately, the radio audience has now lost Calvin a week ago on the 8th. Who was this man? You know, he started his radio career in October of 1996. That's 24 and a half years ago. He was with his brother Steve at the Kewaunee football broadcast that their mother Ruth got to listen to. Then he broadcasted sporadically over the years until he was able to help Gary Peterson do Boilermaker football, unfortunately, during their 30-some game losing streak from 2006 until 2010. Such relief when they finally ended that losing streak against the St. Bede Bruins. Cal always said he would rather watch the contests rather than broadcast them. His passion for high school sports was very important to him, and he made sure that you knew it. Fans would tell him what a great job he was doing, but he always would say, thanks, but he was always so self-deprecating. He always said, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Okay, well, it did, and that was like the humble man that he was. We at regional media are so much more poorer for losing a talent of his magnitude, but also for losing a class act that made the world around him a better place. He would always say, we are only here for a spit in the ocean, and that we are. Cal leaves behind to celebrate his life, his loving wife, Diane Dibdahl Peart, his children and their spouses, Jeremy and Laura, Brandon and Jill, Alexandra and Frank Bucaro, and Gal and Di and their family lost their son slash brother Ryan 9 years ago, unfortunately. Calvin also leaves behind his siblings, Darylin and Constance, Kevin and Kathy, also Karen and Don, and Jeff, and of course, Gail, Steve's widow. And I also have to mention all the Dibdals, Di's sisters and brothers, and their nieces and nephews, too, were also a huge part of his life, as well as all also Cal and Di's grandchildren. Some of his best times were going to the Peart Farm and swimming there in the pool out in the country and talking about sports and listening to the Cub games on the radio at those times. And one of his most important times of his life, of course, was when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. You will never know more huge Cub fans than Calvin and Steve Peart. And they were together on November 2nd on Cal's birthday of 2016 in Anawan at Stephen Gale's house for that championship for the Cubs. He also enjoyed traveling, Cal did, and he found this out by going on bowling trips. There was a bowling team up at the Dura Bowl and had great times up there. And a very good friend of his, Doug Wagger, said, well, what about going ahead and we're going to be going on these bowling trips? And so a bunch of the guys around the table said, well, we'd like to go too, you know, because we'd go different places and you'd save up for it for the year. Reno, Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada, Sacramento, California, you know, all sorts of places. We went like 20 different times. It was so much fun. Oh, what a full life. Just not long enough. His legacy lives on in his son, Jeremy, who has now been sports broadcasting a few years. This has become a lost art. People trying to change it, make it better. But it all comes down to describing the action. Cal traveled many miles going to these contests. Rochelle? Wow. For only $30 a game? You really had to love to do what you did for $4 an hour. Yes, his family and friends will miss him, but moreover, the local community and people of Kewaunee will remember Calvin Peart as one of the nicest, most genuine people that they have ever met. And we all are exactly poor for having lost him. You know, a movie item that was appropriate, I felt anyway, was in the movie A Wonderful Life. And the quote was from George Bailey's brother, Harry. He gave a toast. He says, to my big brother, George, the richest man in town. To Calvin Peart, who made us all feel just a little bit better about our existence. We do not know when we will be called home by God. Be ready. And as always, God bless you, Calvin Peart, because he blessed us. God blessed us by loaning you to us.
Well said. A lovely tribute. And of course, it was a tremendous loss for regional media. He'd been working on these games for so many years with yourself as well as with Bob McKee, and I'm sure I wish we had Bob here today. I'm sure he'd have a lot to say as well.
Well, Bob did his games with Steve. Steve and Bob were joined at the hip doing games, and they did games together very, very well over the years, Sean. You talked to Bob McKee, and there was Steve Peart. Talk to Steve Peart, there's Bob McKee. They went to all over the central Illinois going to games. I remember them doing a Weathersfield, Anawan Weathersfield playoff game in Fisher, Illinois, which is on the east side of Illinois. And they were called Stephen and I kind of laughed a little bit about it one time. He and Bob were laughing about it a little bit, you know, not on the air.
Right.
But they were called the Fisher Bunnies. And so one thing I asked, what did they have, an Easter Bunny on the side of the helmet? And he says, no, it was a rabid rabbit on the side of their helmet, and they were a very good football team. And I'm going, yeah, that's true. There's so many sports stories we could talk about over the course of the years that Bob McKee and all the color commentators that we've been able to work with over the years. Roland Arnett was one of my favorites. He's just a tremendous broadcaster. Excellent football coach at Princeville, by the way, too. But he was one of my favorites. And in doing games with him, he always brought that coach's perspective, which was really nice. Greg Christakos did a lot of games with Gary Peterson over the years, too, and with a couple of the other guys. But you look at a lot of the sports broadcasters that have come through this area, and in the state of Illinois, and in small market radio, and you look and see the quality of people that have been there, like Steve Peart. Everybody called him Moose. Calvin Peart. Roland Arnett. Bob McKee. And who I learned my craft from, you can blame him, by the way, folks, that's Gary Peterson. One of the nicest, most truest friends you'll ever meet in your life. When Steve was going through his cancer, Gary, of course, was up in, he still owns a radio station up in Rochelle. He would travel down to spend the time with Steve and brought him a couple of nice pictures and stuff, but real true, genuine guy. And also, we also have to, you know, I'm going to be all over the place. I wanted to write this down before I started, but I'll be all over the place from here on out because thoughts go through my mind. That's why a color commentator, it's so important to have them there, because I know what I'm thinking and I'm trying to get it across to people. And Sean, I expect them to know what I'm thinking, you know, because my mind and my mouth are not engaged, unfortunately. Right. But Steve Moose was the best at that, and Calvin was right there with him. They would say, well, you mean that, Russ? Oh, yes, thank you very much. And Jeremy now is doing it for me, too. And Jeremy, by the way, is Calvin's son, mm-hmm. and we sure appreciate him stepping right in and doing these broadcasts.
I was really blown away by Jeremy's strength and character stepping in the day after he lost his father to be part of our broadcast.
And that was the thing about it. Calvin had done the game on Friday the 5th, and then he passed on Monday the 8th, and then we had a game to do on that Thursday, and we were, Cal was going to be going visiting his daughter Lexi up in the Chicago area. He and I were, and he said, Jeremy will do those games. I said, oh, I really appreciate it. So Jeremy did the game. He did the game on Thursday, which I couldn't believe his strength. Gets it from his dad and his mother both. They're wonderful. Calvin was a wonderful person. Di is a wonderful person. If you don't know them, I'm sorry, because they're one of a kind people, and they've had a lot of friends and family that have known them for years and are very happy. I mean, you're not going to be happy with one person,
right?
But overall, the existence of how you feel about each other will come out at those times. And I think that's the big key there.
You can actually still listen to that broadcast on our Facebook page right now. The video is still there. And it was very emotional listening to you talk about Cal. But then it was extra emotional when you had you're struggling to get your words out and Jeremy is holding you up.
Actually, he was. Yeah, that's very true. Thank you for mentioning that. And by the way, Sean, to digress for a quick second, thanks for all your help trying to get these broadcasts on the air, because it is tough to do with the equipment that's a little bit old and whatever, and we're trying to integrate new equipment into it. So I'm not exactly the most tech-savvy guy in the world, but with your help and with my son Andy's help, made a difference. Also, I believe you also have archived Cal's last game on the 5th.
That's right.
And that is something, if you'd like to listen to how good of a broadcaster he was, you can go ahead and listen at that point in time. It's just tough. But when you think about, all the people that we've worked with over the years, and what does it mean? It means you've been doing something you wanted to do, and you've been paid for it, which you deserve to be paid for what you're doing. You don't do things for free. People don't deliver newspapers for nothing. They trudge around in this snow and and do that. People do not deliver mail for nothing. They have to have be reimbursed. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that job here. And there are a lot of jobs I wouldn't want to do. I've thought a lot of times, I wouldn't mind being an over-the-road trucker. You know, that sounds like fun. No, that's not fun. That's a lot of work that people don't really know about. And again, folks and friends, because you've been our friends over the years, and we sure do appreciate you listening to us. But friends, there's that old saying to walk a mile in my shoes, walk a mile in our moccasins, as the Native Americans said. So a lot of fun things over the years to cheer your teams on. The Peart brothers were just huge in their Chicago sports. They love the Blackhawks. They love the Bulls. They love the Cubs, the Bears. Not so much the White Sox, but they still like the White Sox. They would put up with them. But and the University of Illinois, the Fighting Illini. And it's kind of fun to see over the years going to basketball and football games with these gentlemen. One of the last games I did with Steve was at the Erie tournament up in wonderful holiday tournament up in Erie. And best food, of course, that's how we rank a lot of our venues, is by their hospitality rooms. Because at regional and at times like that, it's kind of nice. They give you, they have a huge spread up at Erie. They do a great job. And that's where Gary Peterson's from originally. And that being said, I'm trying to remember all the guys that we worked with over the years. Steve Osborne, we call him O. He's still doing games. He's kind of hunkered down now because of the COVID-19. Also, you look back and see, of course, we had Ron and I mentioned that to you. Trying to remember some of the other guys that we had.
Mike Cokett and Geneseo.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was trying to think of. Mike Cokett, who's now doing games, by the way, for QC Online over in Geneseo, which is a huge audience. For him, he's really gone up the ladder tremendously. Mike Guns from Anawan, I'm sorry, I don't remember his fellow broadcaster, but I'm guessing there's probably 25 or 30 people that have done games for regional media, and before that, the predecessors.
We got a terrific episode of Kiwani back when that's in the archives with Dave Clark talking about Mike Myler's dad. Called the very first game of sports on WKEI back in the day.
Yeah, Phil Myler was a one of a kind, and of course he got to watch his son and grandson play for Kiwani. Of course, Tom, one of the top five or six players ever to come out of Kiwani High School, and both of Tom's sons and Tom's daughter. I'm trying to remember Mike, and I can't remember the other young man's name, and then their daughter also, is it Kim, I think, is her name. But Mr. and Ms. Myler, and by the way, we are sitting in where Tom Myler worked for many years, yes, at First Federal Savings and Loan Association. We are here in this wonderful building.
Yeah, he was he was marveling at the place when he came in.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at those things, and, yes, he was really good. Bob McKee was here for he was here, first of all, and did a great job. He was over at WGEN over in Geneseo for a while and did sports broadcasting over there and also was an on-air announcer. Of course, here he was morning guy for 15 years, I'm guess, just to guess.
Yeah, I'm
16 years,
yeah.
And then you took the over after he decided to get out of getting up in the morning like you have to do,
right?
And so he really enjoyed, talking, conversing with all the folks here at in Kiwani, which is nice, and it's important to remember the fact that he still is doing ball games. He was very happy to start doing ball games again. It's been 2 years for him, almost, and boom, he's back on the air, and he's pretty happy doing that. I've talked to him a couple of times. He's doing the Weathersfield basketball games. He'll be doing the Anwan Weathersfield football as well as other broadcasts for them. He and, like I said, he and Steve are very, very close. Moose, they're very, very close. Did a lot of games. There's softball, baseball. Sure. And you got to remember this, too. These two gentlemen had other jobs. Talking about Calvin, worked in, first of all, for Eagle Food Stores for many years. Then he worked for High Packer Heister for many years. Then he worked for the school district for many years. So you had to get off to do these things. Plus, as you get older, you'll find out, folks, when you're done with your 9-to-5 job or 8-to-6 or whatever, those 9 hours, when you get done, you want to go home. You want to unwind.
Right.
You don't really want to go out and do these, but the passion was there.
Yeah. And you can sense that, too. His beautifully written obituary, I don't know who wrote that. It was absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
That was posted to Ruck's Funeral Home as well as on our website right now. And at the end, and I don't know if they're ready to talk about exactly what their plans are, but at the end they do mention that they are taking donations for something that's going to be related to local sports, related to Calvin.
That's correct. And that is what's so nice about the Pierce/Dibdahl families are the fact that they thought enough to do that, because this is something that was not planned. Lord called him home on that morning, the 8th. He had really no symptoms to speak of. They just called him, there you are. Steve just had a horrible time, had cancer, and found out in September, and ended up passing away in the first week of June or so, and of the next year. So it was not a good time whatsoever. And he always told me, I don't ever want to go like that. I don't ever want to go like that. I said, I don't blame you. And just a wonderful life. These two guys, Steve worked it for years over at Green Chevrolet in East Moline, and he would get off. In fact, the first game he did, I have to tell you, this was 1991. He ventured down to Alexis, Illinois, and there's a guy by the name of John Elder, not the Sons of Katie Elder, but John Elder. It was his name, was the coach there.
Yeah.
And Hall of Fame coach for the state of Illinois. And the guy was really marvelous, and he went ahead and had his team ready to go against Weathersfield, because Weathersfield was an A&W back then. And in 1991, I don't remember when it happened exactly, but one of the kickoffs went for a touchdown by the one team. The very next play was a kickoff to the other team. They went for a touchdown. And I think it was just two. It could have been three in a row, and I'm not sure if it started the second half or the first half, whatever. I mean, that's been...
Right.
We're talking about
30 years ago.
Yeah, so it's hard to remember all of them. There are some things that stand out in your mind, of course. I remember I had to work, and again, this isn't about me. I'm not trying to talk about me. I'm just mentioning this because of to set things up. But I had to work on a Saturday. They wouldn't let me off when Kiwani had a marvelous team. Coach Greg Christikos had his team playing well, and they're. Remember, their quarterback was Matt Salisbury. Oh, he was so good. Steve Salisbury's boy, the former head coach of the Boilermakers. And so they go over to play over east of Champaign, a semifinal game. And I was not able to do the game, so Steve went, Moose went, along with his son Steven and Gary, and they called the game. And the game was 7-6. And the kick they called no good. Steven, Moose's son, was underneath the goalpost, and he said it was good. Otherwise, it was St. Joe Ogden, I believe, that they were the team that then went to state. I don't think they won, but they went to the state championship. The other game that comes right to my forefront to my mind was back in 93, I believe, was the year. When they had Garner Simpkins in a quarterback, they had the Wellgott boys. They had, geez Louise, I'm sorry, a lot of people involved. And I had done all the games that year with Gary, and then I had to work that Saturday. And I think it was Steven. I was talking to Mr. Wellgott not very long ago, and we were talking a little bit about it. And he said, yeah, he turned his ankle. And I think he stepped on a tee, a kicking tee. And Doc Peterson was there. Doc Peterson, longtime physical therapist, great guy, and gave up his time and the coaching abilities for Kewaunee area people. Anyway, Doc shot it up with stuff so he couldn't feel the pain anymore. So he played the entire game on it. Well, Kewaunee is playing again in the semifinals against Pontiac, the Pontiac Indians. Pontiac Indians had a quarterback slash linebacker. That he did both.
Right.
His name is Reggie Kennedy. I'll never forget that name as long as I live. And he was actually signed with Purdue to play linebacker for them in college. I don't know if he ever went, but that game, it was Kewaunee was ahead by margin, by a small margin, and Reggie Kennedy took the snap from the center, went back to pass, and then went to start to run, just to stay in the pocket, and he dropped the ball. The ball came right back up into his hands. Who would have thunk that? And this is late in the game.
Yeah.
He ran down the field for like 40, 50 yards. Greg Christakos could tell you exactly because that guy's got a mind like you wouldn't believe. And he goes down the field and sets up their winning touchdown, unfortunately. Otherwise, Kewaunee goes, and by the way, Pontiac destroyed the other team in the championship game the next week. Otherwise, Kewaunee would have been state champion.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So anyway, a lot of things that you and I could talk about. We've lost some of that knowledge from people in years gone by. Some of the games, some of the actions, some of the most memorable moments, some of the moments when you really earned your keep because the games were so boring, whether it be for or against Kewaunee or Anawan or Weathersfield. If anyone's playing Weathersfield and somebody was just beating the other team up, that was horrible. If Anawan's playing Galva, and Galva's not good, or Galva's good, Anawan is not good, or if Weathersfield playing Galva, you don't like to see blowouts.
Right.
Ever, ever, ever. Now, if you're a Bears fan, you do, but not on high school sports because they all have feelings, Sean, you know?
At the same time, though, when I've talked to people about sports broadcasts on this station, some of the best memories that some people have are of games where they're completely out of hand, either one way or the other, and you just had Bob McKee and Moose just going back and forth, trying to keep people entertained when there wasn't much to talk about.
Well, and then there are things that we were doing broadcasts with the phones like we're doing now, the things would come on there and say, who was this particular team or whatever, and you can talk about some of the athletes that have played for Kewaunee, Weathersfield, Anawan in the area, and now have gone on to bigger and better things, such as, you know, college or pro. And, you know, I've got names that come to my mind real fast on that. Among them, probably the most prominent would be Danny Nelson, who played for Weathersfield, played for Illinois State University, was an All-American at Illinois State, Danny Nelson. Wow. And then, of course, he played in pro football for, I believe it was the Baltimore Colts, and I think, well, I'm not going to say, I'm not even going to venture a guess.
Right.
But so here he goes, he does that. And his family, Danny's family, wonderful athletes, all of them, gave fans many, many years and hours and minutes of play. And in fact, one of his grandsons, Danny's grandson, plays for Weathersfield, Cale Nelson, and is an integral part of that basketball team, and also an excellent receiver for their football team and defensive player.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to single anybody out, folks. They have got so many weapons over there, but I'm digressing. But and then the third generation after Denny, and then, of course, his sons, Marshall, and who is Cale's dad, and then, of course, Ben, one of the nicest guys. He's at Community State Bank, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And these people are all nice people. They're not mean people. They're not arrogant people. You talk to them about Denny playing, and they don't say a whole lot about it. But if you look out at Weathersfield High School, you walk into their foyer there, and on the right side, you will see a helmet from Denny Nelson and some other memorabilia, which is pretty cool, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And there are other people too, and I'm talking about, you know, you look at Kewanee, and there is the jersey that Ed Tunnicliffe wore, and he played for Illinois in the Rose Bowl. Northwestern in the Rose Bowl, and just a really heck of a guy.
Yeah.
For Galva, he had Rich Falk, played for Northwestern, and was an extremely talented guy, that's for sure. A lot of the people, too, to go back to Calvin and Steve, a lot of people were not exactly excellent athletes in high school. Steve was not one of those. See, he was a very good center, and he was a very good basketball player. Unfortunately for Steve, he was in that group with Tom Myler, Gary Hill, Donnie Harvey, Tommy Smith, Mark Ort, as well as Rick Cernovich. At that time, Mike Harvey also in that group. When they went to state in 1971, Tom Myler was sick. They had to play Quincy Catholic Boys, which is now, I believe, Quincy Notre Dame, I think is what it's called now. But they played them in the Super Sectional. First time Kewanee had been out of the sectional and won the sectional since the 40s. And this is is that 20 years later, 25 years later? And so here they are going to the Super Sectional, and they won by either 1 or 2 points. And Tom Myler was sicker than heck that night. He couldn't even play, or they would have been better than that. And there was no three-point shot at that time either, Sean.
Yeah.
And Kewanee's three-point shooters, you know, Smitty and Myler and Harvey and Hill, and these, they could all shoot the three. The funniest thing about that year, they did not win the NCIC, the conference they were in at that time. And the Boilermakers, their last 5 or 6 games, they put up 100 points in a high school basketball games, 8-minute quarters, 100 points. And Limbeck, their coach, M. Limbeck, actually sat these guys quite a bit. Another person, by the way, you should ever have the opportunity to interview is Jerry Salisbury, who is a wealth of information about Kewanee sports and area sports, too. He keeps up to this time, he has kept every stat of every football and basketball game back to the 60s when Mick Sienkiewicz did it. He'd kept all the stats. And Kewanee's got all those things laid out, which is neat.
Yeah.
So I talk a lot. You have to excuse me.
That's quite all right. That's quite all right. Thank you for joining us this morning and talking about Calvin Peart, a great loss to this entire sports community, this entire community in general. And it's just it's greatly appreciated that you're able to come here and remember him today.
Yeah, and it's one more thing I want to mention about Calvin. He loved going to movies. And he loved popcorn. He loved the buttery popcorn. And his daughter-in-law, Jill, used to take him tubs of popcorn when they would go to the movies. She was such a thoughtful person. The whole family's thoughtful. I mean, they learned from the best, from Cal and I, both very thoughtful people, wonderful people. And, I guess I'm remembering, I have my moments, but I'm remembering both guys, what true wonderful people they were, what they meant to their families and what they've meant to the community. And when you hear broadcasting from this point forward, remember these two gentlemen and the legacy they left for what they did and the unselfishness that they had in giving of their time. And for Diane and Gail, their wives, for saying, go ahead and do it. Have fun with doing what you want to do. Wonderful people. And the likes I don't think we'll ever see again.